Okay, we're focused now on the Rav's insights into the sugya in Brachos, the sugya which the Rav quotes on page Yud, four lines down in the main paragraph, Brachos Yudalad Amid Beis. And we're going to try to understand the shitos of the Bnei Ma'arava, Rav, and Abaye. If you recall, according to the Bnei Ma'arava, there's a very complex way of reciting the third parasha of Kriyat Shema at night. You begin with the first pasuk and a half, and you end with the last three words in the parasha, Ani Hashem Elokecha. Rav, on the other hand, says, drop the entire parasha. What you do, though, according to Rav, is if you began the parasha, then you have to read the entire parasha. So whereas Bnei Ma'arava will advocate in favor of reading the first part of the parasha, the first pasuk and a quarter and change, and the last three words of the parasha, but leave out the entire middle of the parasha, Rav will advocate to completely omit the parasha, don't even begin. But, paradoxically, Rav is going to get more out of this parasha than Bnei Ma'arava in event that you began reading the parasha. Kevin Shehischil Gomer. Finally, we have Abaye Shita, and the Rambam Paskins like Abaye, that because of the mitzvah of Zechiris Yitzis Mitzrayim, we're going to recite the parasha of Tzitzis even at night. And that's our minhag. So the Rav raises a few questions, some of which we discussed last week, or at least began discussing them. The first question is, what's this complex form of reading a parasha according to Bnei Ma'arava, just at its beginning and at its end? What justifies that? Second question, according to Rav, you drop the entire parasha. What happened to the mitzvah of Zechiris Yitzis Mitzrayim? The Gemara itself raises that question and answers Modem Anachnu Lach. That's antithetical, at the face of it, to the Rav's premise, standing on the shoulders of his grandfather, Reb Chaim, that the mitzvah of Zechiris Yitzis Mitzrayim must be integrated into Kriyat Shema, into Kabbalah Sal Malchus Shemayim, which requires reading a parasha Kiksova Ukilashona. Instead, what we have here, according to Rav, is Modem Anachnu Lach. This was the kasha of the Shagasari and the Gaon. The Rav answered that question by suggesting that there are two chalos dinim, this is on page Yud Aleph, with regard to Zechiris Yitzis Mitzrayim. The first of which is expressing gratitude to Hashem for having redeemed us, and that you could do in any language, in any form, in any nuscha that you care to do it in. It's your own subjective decision, and that fulfills the mitzvah of Levan Tizkar Yom Tzeischa Me'eretz Mitzrayim. But the second chalos din of Zechiris Yitzis Mitzrayim is to integrate Zechiris Yitzis Mitzrayim into Kabbalah Sal Malchus Shamayim, and that requires that we read a parsha Kiksava Ukilashona. But here the Bnei Ma'arava are faced with a dilemma, because fine, in Shachris we have no problem, because it's meaningful to read the parsha of Kriyat Shema in Shachris when there's a mitzvah tzitzis, the third parsha of Vayomer. But Laila is going to be a problem, because Laila loves man tzitzis. And since you cannot accept upon yourself a commitment to the mitzvah tzitzis at night, then reciting this parsha of tzitzis at night in Vayomer is totally meaningless and has to be dropped. But to focus on the sheet of the Bnei Ma'arava, and here we'll turn to page Yud Gimel, we're going to take a look at a parsha in Vayikra Yud Ches, which you'll see on the bottom of page Yud Beis. Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe Leimor, Daber al Bnei Yisrael v'mata aleihem, Ani Hashem Elokeichem. It would seem from various sources, in the Shita Mekubetzes, in the Yad HaMelech, that pasuk in Vayikra justifies the Shita of the Bnei Ma'arava. The Bnei Ma'arava will allow you to open up the parasha of Tzitzis at night and close the parasha of Tzitzis at night, dropping the entire middle, omitting the entire section of Tzitzis, based on the fact that the same identical pasuk appears in Vayikra. And the Rav on page Yud Gimel addresses himself to try to understand the Bnei Ma'arava. How does the pasuk in Vayikra help me when I'm reading the parasha of Vayomer? And presumably, we're going to try, according to Bnei Marava, to achieve the integration of the Parsha of Vayomer and the mitzvah of Zechirus Yitzis Mitzrayim into Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim. But how do we do so if we drop the bulk, the majority of the parsha in the middle? And how do we justify this on the basis of some pasuk in Vayikra, which are not even reading? The Rav points out in the paragraph that starts with Lamito Shel Dovar that one thing is accepted both by Bnei Marava and by Rav. The common premise to both of them is that Parshas Tzitzis, which is recited during the day in Kriyat Shema, has to be dropped at night. Why must we omit the Parsha of Tzitzis at night? Bein l'Bnei Marava, bein l'Rav. And the answer is, we have to define the mitzvah of Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim. What is the mitzvah of Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim? And the Rav presents the following postulate. You cannot fulfill the mitzvah of Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim without hischayvus b'mitzvos. In other words, Kabbalah Sol Mitzvos is absolutely critical to the mitzvah of Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim. And the quintessential form of Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim, of Kabbalah Sol Mitzvos, is the Parsha of Tzitzis. Because Tzitzis is Shkula Keneged Kol HaMitzvos V'Zachartem, as Kol Mitzvos Hashem. However, what sense does it make to be Makabel Ol Mitzvos, to commit myself to a mitzvah, in this case Tzitzis, which represents all the mitzvahs, when the mitzvah of Tzitzis is impossible to fulfill? There is no mitzvah of tzitzis at night. So even if I were to commit myself to the mitzvah of tzitzis at night, that's impossible. And therefore, both Bnei Marava and Rav together join forces and present the thesis that we absolutely must omit the parsha of tzitzis at night. Again, it would be antithetical. It would be almost an oxymoron, unacceptable to use the parsha of tzitzis at night as a commitment to old mitzvahs when that mitzvah itself, namely tzitzis, is not applicable at night. So what do we do? On the one hand, we want to be mekabel ol malchus shamayim. That mitzvah applies b'shal b'chav kumecha both at night and by day. On the other hand, kabbalas ol malchus shamayim requires an integration with his chayvus b'ol mitzvahs. We have to accept upon ourselves ol mitzvahs. At night, we cannot do so through the parsha of tzitzis. So we have to drop the parsha of tzitzis. Should we therefore cut out this entire parsha? Perhaps we should find a different parsha that has Yetzias Mitzrayim in it, but doesn't mention tzitzis. We need Yetzias Mitzrayim. So what does Rav do? Excuse me, what do the Bnei Marava do? The Bnei Marava postulate that when you analyze the parsha of Vayomer, this is the main paragraph on Yud Gimel on the bottom, that starts Baram Bnei Marava Savri, that the parsha of Vayomer has two different chaluyos, I would say, of Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim. Number one, the mitzvah of tzitzis. And that commitment to the mitzvah of tzitzis is central in the parsha of Vayomer. It is the bulk and the essence of Parsha Vayomer. But Vayomer also contains within it another dimension of Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim. And that is inherent in the first pasuk and the beginning of the second, with the end of the Parsha Ani Hashem Elokecha. These two psukim, when you add them together, cut and paste, so to speak, become almost like a parsha of Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim unto itself. Now, how do you justify taking a parsha, cutting out the first pasuk and a half, attaching the last three words in the parsha, and generating a parsha of Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim? How can you say such a thing? You've cut out the bulk of the parsha. And the answer is, what validates that mechanism is the pasuk in Vayikra. Since the pasuk in Vayikra expresses and formulates the same identical words and sentences, the concept of Kabbalah's Ol Malchus Shemayim, Because Rashi explains that Ani Hashem Elokecha means Ani Hu Shamarti B'Sinai Anochi Hashem Elokecha V'Kibaltem Aleichem Malchusai. The Ani Hashem Elokecha, says Rashi, is a reference to Sinai, to Kabbalas HaTorah, to accepting the Malchus Vashem. That was the Kabbalah that Klal Yisrael accepted upon themselves at the time that Hashem said, Ani Hashem Elokecha. Therefore, Vayomer, since it contains the identical formulation as the parsha which is linked up to Kabbalah's Malchus of Har Sinai, therefore, that part of the parsha Vayomer becomes an entity unto itself. To read the Rav's language, he says, Gam beparshas Vayomer, mitztarfim hema, these elements of Vayomer Hashem el Moshe Leimor Daber el Bnei Yisrael Ani Hashem Elokeichem integrate together to form a Chativa Shlema, an entity unto itself. And what is that entity? What is the chalos of that entity? How do you define it? Its essence, its Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim. And that parsha now stands on its own, independent of the mitzvah of tzitzis. Therefore, on the one hand, there's a hafkah at night, a total undermining of the chiyuv of the obligation and the commandment to its tzitzis. And therefore, that exempts our obligation to read the parsha of tzitzis at night in connection to, in conjunction with, I should say, the mitzvah of Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim. However, even if the Torah says you're exempt from tzitzis, and therefore you cannot commit yourself to mitzvahs through tzitzis at night, nevertheless, we don't expand that p'tur, that exemption, to swallow up the entire parsha. Since that parsha contains with it another dimension, beyond tzitzis, namely, a Kabbalah's Ol Malchus Shemayim that links us up with the Kabbalah's Malchus Hashem of Har Sinai, since the parsha has within it a piece that expresses, when we add together the different parts, the beginning and the end, a Kabbalah's Ol Malchus Shemayim, that chalos remains independent of the parsha of tzitzis. The Bnei Marava require us to read that part of the parsha, even though we have to omit, we have to drop the ball on the bulk of the parsha, namely the parsha of tzitzis. So it's not the pshat that once we exclude, we bump off the parsha of tzitzis, therefore we have to exclude the entire parsha. There's another element, another dimension of the parsha, which stands on its own 2 feet, independent of tzitzis. That's the sheet of the Bnei Marava.
Contradicting.
Okay, we'll get to that in a minute, Joe, but I just want to finish this paragraph. Take a look at the last 6 lines in the parasha. L'amito shel davar, says the Rav. Parshas Vayomer koleles shtei parshios. That's a fascinating formulation. One parsha, which incorporates 2 different parshios. Number one, the parsha of tzitzis. And if somebody could open up even a siddur, ad lios lachem lelokim. Okay, we have to... Or you could open up Parsha Shlach, whichever is quicker and easier. There are no Sidurim here in this library. All right, open up a Parsha Shlach, if you will. Do you have it there, Byron? It's very important that we see this. I should have actually photocopied this for you. Take a look. You see where it says, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, at the beginning of the last Pasuk. And that, in a sense, is a closure to the parsha of tzitzis. And then a second time it says, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, which is a closure, or a chasiva, it's a signature, to the parsha of Yetzias Mitzrayim. So now, watch what happens. We're in deep trouble here. Why? Because insofar as the parsha of tzitzis is completely bumped off, a hat check, we have to completely exclude it from Kriyat Shema at night, then we have to go as far as to exclude Ani Hashem Elokeichem.
Why?
Because Ani Hashem Elokeichem is part of the parasha of tzitzis. However, I need the next Ani Hashem Elokeichem for 2 reasons. Number one, because Ani Hashem Elokeichem is the statement that appears in the first Dibra of Aseres HaDibros, when Bnei Yisrael Mekabel, Ol Malchus Shemayim, the sovereign rulership of Almighty God. And secondly, the Ani Hashem Elokeichem is the closure to the parasha of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Ani Hashem Elokeichem, at the beginning of the Pasuk, referring upwards, Liel, Adi Liel Koi, linking me back to the parasha of Tzitzis, and Ani Hashem Elokeichem at the end, linking me back to Yetzias Mitzrayim. Which, if any of these, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, am I going to be required to recite according to Bnei Marov? Certainly not the first one. That has to be excluded. But the second one should be included. Because I am your God means I am your God who took you out of Egypt. I redeemed you. You owe me a debt of gratitude. You became my servants. Previously you were servants to Mitzrayim. Now you're servants to me. That must be said. That's the critical element in Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim. But how do I do so? Bless you, I've cut out most of this pasuk. Or I shouldn't say most, but at least part of this pasuk. So what do I do? The answer is, I'm going to take Ani Hashem Elokeichem and attach it to a different pasuk. It's very complicated. Look, you and I might have said, okay, I grant the Rav's axiom correct. I can't recite the first Ani Hashem Elokeichem. It's been excluded under the parasha of Tzitzis. It's part of the parasha of Tzitzis. But let me say, Asher Atzeisi Eschem Eretz Mitzrayim. The answer is, that's ridiculous. What do you mean, Asher Atzeisi Eschem Eretz Mitzrayim? Who took you out of Egypt? How can you start a sentence with the words, who took you out of Egypt? So the answer is, I'm going to do something else. I'm going to take the Ani Hashem Elokeichem. And that, what inheres in those three words, what's hidden below the surface, it's concealed in the words Ani Hashem Elokeichem, is the Yetzias Mitzrayim. Because Ani Hashem Elokeichem means, I am the Lord your God who took you out of Egypt. And therefore you owe me servitude. You owe me Kabbalas O Malchus Shemayim. How can we do such a thing? How can we take three letters out of a pasuk, three words out of a pasuk, and recite it? It's impossible. The answer is, because I take those Ani Hashem Elokeichem and they attach it to Dabar El Bnei Yisrael. Which, again, if you go back to Vayikra, and if someone can open up kindly to Vayikra Yudches at the very beginning, there it says, Vayomer Hashem El Moshe. Where am I? Vayomer Hashem El Moshe Limor, Dabar El Bnei Yisrael, V'yamart Alehem. Is that unbelievable? It's like a magical game over here. And what gives me the right to do it? The fact that in this parsha, there's a Chalos Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim. That's the name of the parsha. Again, I can't recite Tzitzis because my hands are tied. It would be absolutely antithetical and paradoxical to recite Tzitzis as a commitment to mitzvahs when the mitzvah of Tzitzis itself is inapplicable at night. But since this parsha contains the Chalos Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim, therefore, I am obligated to recite this parsha. But how can I recite the parsha and drop the parsha of Tzitzis? The answer is, by taking part of the parsha, that part of the parsha which reflects a Chalos Ol Malchus Shemayim, a Chalos Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim. How can I do that when the parasha is separated from the beginning to the end? The answer is the Psukim and Vayikra will validate the ability to create this cut and paste parasha and read the parasha Vayomer at least as far as the Miktsas parasha, the part that represents the Chalos Shem Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim. Therefore, what do? I have two possibilities. This is the last four lines on this paragraph. Number one.
This is all the rogues understand.
It's just total creation. Total creation. Total creativity.
I would just think that the first Ani Hashem Elokeichem and the last sort of surround Yetzias Mitzrayim.
Well, let's see. First, let's read the text inside Byron, and then we'll come back to your question. He says, number one, I can read the Parsha Kesidra, meaning from beginning to end, and that's one option, and that's going to be Abaye Shita. Or, I can omit from the Osulahem Tzitzis, which is the second half of the second pasuk, the Amarta Aleihem, the Osulahem Tzitzis, up until and including Ani Hashem Elokeichem.
The first one.
That I can skip. And then what do? The Ligmar, and I conclude. Once I cut out from V'amart Aleihem V'asulahem Tzitzis with Ani Hashem Elokeichem. Now, here's the sentence of the Rav that addresses Byron's point. L'chein, nichpala ha-memra shal Ani Hashem Elokeichem. Why does Ani Hashem Elokeichem appear twice in the Pasuk? I don't know what the Mefarshei HaTorah say about this. It would be a fascinating research project. But the Rav has his own take on why Ani Hashem Elokeichem appears as bookends in this last pasuk. He says, Ani Hashem Elokeichem lifnei azkaras yitzias Mitzrayim is, do you see where he says, mityacheset lemitzvas tzitzis? Because again, what's Ani Hashem Elokeichem? Ani Hashem Elokeichem means I am the God who is your sovereign leader. Elokeichem. Elokim means the Dayan, the Shofet, the legislator. I am your legislator. What do you mean I am your legislator? Where? What? Who? Ani Hashem Elokeichem. I legislate. I command. Where does it fit in? It's hanging here like in midair. Says the Rav. It goes back to tzitzis, which represents all the mitzvahs. Ashniyo, what's the second Ani Hashem Elokeichem? Likabolas mitzvahs bechlal b'sinai. That we accepted all the mitzvahs at our Sinai, the same Ani Hashem Elokeichem that appears in Vayikra. Do we have the parashah Vayikra? It should say there, Ani Hashem Elokeichem. Does it say it? I can't believe the Rav invented it. So we have to assume he said it. Did he say it?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, says the Rav, let's construct the Shita of Bnei Marav. I'm sorry, I can't answer questions until we get the picture. He says, and we're going on from Yud Gimel to Yud Dalet. Even though the exclusion of tzitzis at night makes it impossible for us to fulfill Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shamayim, that depends upon mitzvah tzitzis at night, again, everything's at night. Nevertheless, you cannot bump off, you cannot undermine the kiyum, the fulfillment of the mitzvah Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shamayim on the second level, which is independent of tzitzis, which is that part of the parasha that sends us back to the Ani Hashem Elokeichem of Har Sinai when we accepted upon ourselves in the first Dibra, Almighty God as our master. Im kein, therefore, Chayiv Dvar Torah. There's a mitzvah d'oraisa now, according to Bnei Marav, lahaschil parshas vayomer, ulitzarfes hascholos of a parsha. What do we do? What are we accomplishing? Says the Rav, and this I would underline. Al pitzir said by integrating the beginning and the end, according to Bnei Marav, hu omer parsha kiksova. This is magical. What do you mean parsha kiksova? He cut out 90% of the parsha, if not more. The answer is, this parsha is two separate parshas. They're two separate entities. I mean, you have to be very abstract in order to see that. You won't see it with the naked eye. You'll only see it with your mind's eye. This parsha has one Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim of tzitzis, and another Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim that connects to Yetzias Mitzrayim. Because in the first Dibra at Har Sinai of the Aseret HaDibros, what did Hashem say? I am your master who has taken you out of Mitzrayim. That's the same Ani Hashem Elokeichem here that goes back to Asher Tzisichem Chem Eretz Mitzrayim. He says, Omnam, Eino Mazki Yetzias Mitzrayim Beferush. Oh, now here the Rav has to play a game. Another magical game. As if there wasn't enough magic. Could you imagine in a baseball game that you're not standing at a base, but the side of your, what do they call the sneaker, you know, that the baseball players wear? This is technical word for it. Anyway, do you know what the word sneaker means? Well, there's no such word here in Canada.
Running shoe. We'll
running shoe, you call it? Okay, yeah. In Britain, I call it, I think, also exercise shoes or running shoes, whatever they call it. Okay. So imagine you've got your sneaker on, and the side of your sneaker touches the base, and you're the umpire. Is he safe? Because the shortstop has the ball in his glove, and he touches this guy, tags him. Is he out, or is he safe? What do you mean safe? He's not on the base. Ah, but he's touching the base. Touching the base is considered al pidin, tzachal Hashem, being on the base. That's what it comes out. Says the Rav, the same trick applies here. Omnam. He's got to fulfill the mitzvah of Zechiris Yitzis Mitzrayim as a vehicle to achieve Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim. He's not saying a word about Yitzis Mitzrayim. Beferush, explicitly. He doesn't mention Yitzis Mitzrayim explicitly. That would be impossible because in the very same pasuk, it says, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, referring back to Tzitzis. So he can't read this pasuk. This pasuk has a ratio of Tzitzis in it, and therefore the pasuk has to be excluded. Mikol Makom, please underline. Yeshna Chovas Kriya Shel Kabbalah Shniyah. We spoke about the second dimension of the parasha. and that generates a chiyuv to read the parasha, that dimension of the parasha. Mishum se mizdakekati lizchirazu bereshis haposuk. You're tagging, you're rubbing shoulders with the zchir of Yetzias Mitzrayim, which came right before it. You brush your shoulders against Hotzeisias Kamer Tzitzrayim when you recite the words Ani Hashem Elokecha. Magical, no? It's all the Rav's creative mind. And then, as if, as a second thought, as an afterthought, the Rav adds in parentheses that this too is a proof to Reb Chaim's assumption that Zechiris Yetzias Mitzrayim expresses itself in Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shamayim. So therefore, we can take Psukim at the beginning, Psukim at the end, set up a parsha, and even if that parsha doesn't have Zechira in it explicitly up front, nevertheless, since it's Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shamayim, that's my goal, and that I certainly have in the words Ani Hashem Elokechem, Gandik, I fulfilled the mitzvah of Zechiris Yetzias Mitzrayim. Says the Rav in the final summation, Kriyas Mi'uta, the reading of a very small minority of the parsha of Tzitzis, the beginning and the end, Shegam Tochna, even that small minority of it, has in it, like the other parashas of Kriyashma, Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shamayim, Lohufka, that wasn't excluded by virtue of Tzitzis being bumped off, because Lilo loves man Tzitzis. What you're left with is Kabbalah's Ol Malchus Shamayim of that parsha. So again, let's just summarize all the premises that the Rav is integrating into one. You've got like a whole long list here. It's like I remember when I went to the army, so they gave us a list of everything we have to do before we go out to the Mizdar. There was a whole long list that we had to do. Of course, the most important thing, we had to keep our guns clean. And that was pretty tough at, you know, when it was pitch black at 5 in the morning. Especially if you did a little shmirah in the middle of the night, they rough you up there. I was 34 when I went into the army, so I was no youngster. So here's a whole list. The Rav has a whole list of things that you have to put together. Premise number one, Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim requires reading a parasha. In the case of Shachris, we're going to have three different parashas. Each one has different dimensions of Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim. The third parasha, Parshas Vayomer, has two dimensions to it. Kabbalah's Ol Mitzvahs, that's what Tzitzis, and Yetzias Mitzrayim. At night, we're in trouble. We cannot possibly read the Parshas Vayomer, neither according to B'nai Marava, nor according to Rav, because the bulk of the parashas is Tzitzis. And at this point, Rav and B'nai Marava split ways, they part ways. Rav says there are no two chalosim in this parasha. There's one chalos. It's only one parasha. It's indivisible. If you reject tzitzis, then throw out the whole parasha. Except if you started it, and we'll get back to that in a minute. B'nai Marava say no. This one parasha is really two parashas. There's another parasha that's concealed within this parasha. That other part of the parasha, the concealed part, which consists of Shivrei Psukim, that parsha is a pure parsha of Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shamayim, independent of tzitzis, and must be recited even at night. And here's the next premise. That by reciting that parsha, within the larger parsha of Vayomer, you have fulfilled the obligation of Kriyas Parsha Kiksava Ukilashon, which is the prerequisite for Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shamayim. But where's the Kriyas Parsha Kiksava Ukilashon when you've cut out 90% of the pasuk of the parasha? And the answer is that ability for the beginning of the parasha, the end of the parasha, to stick together, to hang together, to form a parasha of itself with the chalos kabbalah sol shvayim, is granted by what energy force? What validates it? The parasha Vayikra. Even though tzitzis was excluded at night and we cannot read that parasha, we still have another parasha. Rav, if you take a look at the next paragraph, the middle of Yudalid, rejects the B'nai Marava, because even though there are psukim in Sefer Vayikra which validate these words as Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shamayim, but you cannot split Vayomer into two chalosim, or the Rav calls it chalutot. I would have said chaluyot. He calls it chalutot.
What does that mean?
That's the plural of chalos. Chalos means the entity, the status. There are two dimensions, two chalosim, to the parasha Vayomer. Says Rav, they merge and they mesh into one entity. You can't split them and they're indivisible. So either you do them all or you do nothing. You cannot take one parasha and split it into two dimensions. Dimension number one is Chalos Kabbalah Solmach Shvari Dei Tzitzis. And number two, Chalos Kabbalah Yidei Dibra Anochi Hashem Elokecha. I'm sorry, not Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Ani Hashem Elokecha. You can't do that. There's only one chalos of Kabbalah Salmach Shemayim, which has expressed itself in both tzitzis, as a commitment to the mitzvahs, and Tzchius Yitzis Shemayim as an acceptance of God as the master, to replace the masters that we had, the human masters in Egypt. Therefore, at night, since the element of tzitzis, namely the chayvus lemitzvahs, cannot be fulfilled by reading this parasha, because the chi of tzitzis doesn't exist, therefore we cannot recite the parasha of Vayomer at all. So the Rav in footnote number 28 raises the question, okay, so you can't read the parasha Vayomer, but there are other parashias in the Torah that have Yetzias Mitzrayim in it without mentioning tzitzis. Why don't we choose one of those? So the Rav in his answer says the following. The reason why Vayomer was chosen, the Gemara tells us in Brachos, is for five different elements. You have many different elements in this parasha Vayomer, not just tzitzis, but you also have, for example, the Iser of Avodah Zarah, the Iser of Hir Hur Avera, of Znus. You have also Zechiris Yitzis Mitzrayim, and you have Tzitzis. You have all these different facets or dimensions of Kabbalah Talmud Chashmayim. This you'll see on the fifth line down. He says, Hasugya Biara Es Kvias Parshas Vayomer B'Kriyat Shema Mishum Hei Dvar. There are five different elements. Now, once we've pointed our finger to this parasha Vayomer, we singled it out as the unique parasha with all its dimensions, through which we're going to be Mekabel O Malchus Shamayim, with the Zechiris Yitzis Shamayim that's mentioned in that parasha, then it's that parasha or bust. We cannot look to the left or to the right and find another parasha to substitute for Vayomer. And the reason for that is no other parasha that in the Torah combines all these different elements into one. Once Vayomer is chosen, then says the Rav, and this is the line before the end, Lo nitna dvarea l'shi'urim. Do you see that? In other words, once this parasha, meaning Vayomer, has been designated as the parasha of Kabbalah Salmach Shvayim, we cannot substitute another one. Because this parasha was chosen because its unique status with all the dimensions that it contains therein. Therefore, getting back to the text of the Rav, five lines down in the paragraph of Rav, he says that the chiddush of Rav is that this is correct as long as he hasn't begun reading the parasha. Once he began reading the parasha, then he's got to read the entire parasha, the parasha in its entirety. And he's going to even read the tzitzis part and complete the entire parasha. And as we asked before, the question is why? Ubibir halacha. Here I thought he was referring to the Mishnah Berurah, but that's not what he's referring to. He says, in explaining this halacha, it seems to me, and again, once the Rav says it seems to me, you know he's putting on his creative mind. There's a rule that says, kol parasha shelo paska Moshe anan lo paskina. And that would seem to be a very convenient rule to pull out of your pocket here to explain Rav why you have to complete the parasha once you began it. Because if you'd cut yourself off midway in the parasha, then l'chor you'd be in violation of the Iser enjoining us from splitting a parasha when Moshe Rabbeinu did not split a parasha. But the Rav is not satisfied with that interpretation. And he wants to go way beyond. He says that this principle of called parasha de lo paske Moshe anan lo paskinon is not just an Isur, which prohibits us from interrupting the parasha and splitting it and terminating it prematurely. But rather, this principle is a reflection of a chiyuv and a mitzvah of Amira. Meaning, once the parasha has been defined, has been identified as a parasha of Kabbalas O Malchus Shamayim, it becomes an identity. It becomes an entity. Therefore, we will not read this parasha because of the problem of tzitzis, moving on to Tesvav Amin Aleph. because there's no tzitzis at night. However, once he began the parsha, he becomes obligated to complete the parsha as a kiyum of Kabbal Sol Malchus Shamayim. And once again, my friends, the Rav is presenting another complex piece of what I call halachic magic. It's absolutely magical. If you don't believe in magic, don't even bother reading this Yahrzeit Shi'ur.
It's a magic answer.
So that's, I wasn't going to say it. I mean, you said it, Neil. I didn't. That's why I'm telling you, this Yahrzeit Shi'ur, the first half of which ends on page Chaf. And from Chaf and on, I can breathe. So I'm just trying to get to Chaf. That's what I'm really desperately trying to do. Is a very unusual, atypical Yahrzeit Shi'ur. It's fascinating to me how the Rav manages to complex my mind every single line, wherever I turn, I'm just afraid to move on. But we'll get out in the clear soon. Emir Tzashem. Says the Rav, that even though Rav insists that we don't read the Parashat Vayomer, that the mitzvah of tzitzis, which is Einan Oheges Balayla, completely undermines this parasha, nevertheless, Rav himself paradoxically agrees that this parasha is the parasha of Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim, even at night. Again, we cannot recite it. We're enjoined from doing so. And the inhibition is a result of the fact that there's no Kabbalas Ol Mitzvahs through tzitzis, since there's no tzitzis at night. But that doesn't remove and undermine the basic character of this parasha, the identity of the parasha, as a parasha of Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shamayim, from beginning to end. In other words, since we said before that Rav is unwilling to cut the parasha into two chaluyos, or as the Rav calls the chalosos, therefore, we define this parasha as one indivisible parasha sheyesh ba kiyum Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shamayim. We knew that that was true during the day. We had doubts if that was true at night, even especially according to Rav. The Rav insists that even Rav embraces the concept that this parsha as a whole is a parsha of Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shamayim. And therefore, when we begin this parsha, now in a sense we are engendering into the parsha a status of mitzvahs Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shamayim. The Rav's language here is fascinating. Look what he says at the end of line 2. He says, Nichsheres. Do you see that word, Nichsheres? Remember I pointed out last time that the Rav uses the word early of Nivgemes, that somehow tzitzis is pogame the parsha. I couldn't believe he used that word. Here, the Rav is also using an unbelievable word, Nichsheres. In other words, if you ask me whether this parsha, Vayomer, according to Rav, at night, qualifies for the mitzvah of Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shamayim, does not qualify, I would swear in a stack of Bibles it does not qualify. It's possible. It's totally disqualified. The Rav now says, using the word Nichsheres, that this parasha becomes an integral part, together with the other two parashas, of Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shamayim, even according to Rav, even at night. Why? What all of a sudden magically changed this parasha from a parasha psula that was disqualified to a parasha kshera? I mean, did you shech tu simonim? What did you do? You gave it smicha? You started the parasha. That's interesting. You started the parasha. And by starting the parasha, you inject into the parasha a status of this parasha now demands kashrus as being part and parcel, together with the other two parashas, of the fulfillment of the mitzvah of Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shamayim. Now, when we say kol paski lo paski Moshe, anan lo paskinu, we mean something totally different. We mean that the parasha as an entirety, as an entity, has to be read without splitting it up for the mitzvah, in this case, of Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shamayim. Even though, logically, parts of the parasha should be omitted, but once the parasha hangs together with its identity and its chalos, as a Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shamayim parasha, you've begun it. Now, don't look to the left, don't look to the right, don't be at all inhibited by tzitzis. Read the entire parasha. And then, and only then, do you fulfill the mitzvah of Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shamayim. Where does the Rav find this magic? Where is the basis for saying that something which is excluded, some kriya of parashas in the Torah which is excluded, is now included, is now qualified, is now upgraded as a result of the fact that you began to read the parsha? Says the Rav, I see a precedent for this concept for this chemistry, halachic physics, in Tainis Chaf Ches Amud Beis. The Gemara there is addressing the case of Halil on Rosh Chodesh. Halil on Rosh Chodesh, as you know, is a minhag. And fundamentally, the minhag is obligatory on the tzibur. And the yachid, the individual, should not read Halil on his own. That's what the Gemara says. The Rambam passes like that in Hilchos Chanukah Perek Gimel. However, the Brais in Tainis says something amazing. Yachid lo yaschil, but im hischil gomer. You started reading the parasha, continue. And finish it. The Rambam says, Roshei Chadoshim Kriyas HaHal Minuk, U'minuk Zeh B'Tzibur, L'Ficha Karim B'Diluk, whatever that means. Why Diluk has something to do with the Chiyuv Tzibur, I don't know. Maybe the minhag has to somehow express itself in a different kind of halal called halal bedilu. That's the halal of minhag. However, yachid lo yikra klal v'im hischil mashlim. He has to complete the entire parsha, the entire halal. So the Rav asks a basic question. I don't get it. Says the Rav, halal is comprised of many different mizmorim, prakim, and parshios of Sefer Tehillim. So David composed Tehillim with a myriad of different mizmorim, different prokim. What does it mean that you began Halil and therefore you have to complete it? Why? Okay, if you want to say complete the paragraph that you began, that's one thing. Kol parsha delo paske David HaMelech anan lo paskin. And if David didn't stop and interrupt in the middle of the parsha, you don't have the right to do it. But what about the other prokim in Halil? Why not just finish the perek that you began and then terminate, sit down and shut up? Why does the halacha require that once you began halil, read the entire halil, the bediluk, with all its prakim? Says the Rav, hatir it's poshet. Poshet. This physics is not poshet. Maybe now I have to regret that I didn't take physics in high school. Halachic physics, so abstract. Says the Rav, that once the day requires halil, then all the different prakim that constitute halil, that comprise halil, are integrated into one object. He calls it one chefta, gush echad. He's not referring to the gush. What he means by gush echad is one entity. In other words, Kol parsha dolo paski David in this case, and alo paskin, it doesn't mean look at the parsha, but it means look at the entity, the kiyum, and the chiyuv kriya. The chiyuv kriya here is halil. You began halil, the chiyuv kriya now incorporates in it all of halil. The yachid should not have begun, but once he does, he cannot complete and be satisfied by terminating one particular perek, the one that he began. Because the prakim, as individual entities, do not serve any purpose within halil. Only when they're integrated into one whole. And therefore, the din of kol parsha lo paske Moshe, likewise, is not generating an iser that enjoins you from stopping and interrupting a parsha midway, but rather generates a din chiyuv amira. It generates a mitzvah of amira. All of halil, says the Rav, combines to create, to form one entity on those days that halal is obligatory, or at least mishum minak. And therefore, we're not talking about an isur of reading divrei kodesh, shalokit surasam, shalokit savasam, because if that be the case, let him finish that perek that he started, that mizmar. But rather, we're talking about a new halacha, not of isur, but of mitzvah, of chiv. And then the Rav goes on, and this is again a little bit off on the side.
You just said that. You said that was Parakim, and this is inside of one parak. Are you putting, it's a stretch here, huh?
Again, if you're worried about Parakim, then you started a parak, complete that parak. Why do you have to complete the whole halal?
He's comparing it to halal, right?
Getting back to Vayomer.
Yeah.
Okay. So how does this kick into Vayomer? So let's take a look. Again, what I would suggest here, if you could help me out, put brackets, just so that we know we skipped it, because again, it's a little bit off on the side here, from the words, use that pencil if you can. from the words gufo shel isur all the way down to kol dina. It should be about 6 or 7 lines. Do you see a sentence that begins kol dina? And he says the following. He quotes the Gemara again in Brachos, Yiv Beis, Amid Beis, Kol Pashal, Paski, Moshe, Nan Lo Paskin. Says the Rav, that principle relates to a Kiyum Kriya. It's not about what's Aser and Mutter, what are you allowed to read, what are you not allowed to read, are you changing the Tzuras, Hapsukim, and the Kisvei HaKodesh? That's not what it's all about. But rather, it's linked up to what we call a Kiyum Kriya. You're not allowed to terminate the parsha before you fulfill the Kiyum Kriya, which can only be achieved by reading the entire parsha. Therefore, Lefi Zeh, if you have it about 5 lines up from the bottom, if we were to postulate that Rav's halacha is predicated on the prohibition against breaking up a parsha and interrupting it prematurely before its completion, then we don't understand why Rav would say that you have to complete the parsha once you began it. He says, if that be the case, let's read it inside. Hare, 4 lines up from the bottom. Mesiachus ulole iser hefsek akof busurim. Rav is not predicated on the prohibition of stopping a parsha in the middle. Ki im la machayev. But rather to the obligation to read the parsha. And here we go back to daytime. Uv kumecha. We read the entire parsha of Vayomer. And therefore at night, having established by day that this parsha is a cheftz shel kriyat shema, then even though at night we don't want to recite this parsha, and it should not be said, but if you began the parsha, that generates and engenders a chovetz gavra, an obligation on the person to complete the parsha and fulfill the mitzvah of Kabbalas O Malchus Shemayim. Therefore, says the Rav, and here we're going to turn the page, the Rambam paskins that Vayomer has to be recited not only by day, but also by night. Why? Because we're going to link together, this is Abaye, both the Sheet of Bnei Marav and the Sheet of Rav. The Bnei Marav say that there's one chalos in the parish of Kabbalas O Malchus Shemayim, independent of tzitzis, that has to be recited. Rav says that once you began the parish, you have to complete the parish, because the entire parish as an entity takes on the complexion of a cheftz shel Kabbalas O Malchus Shemayim with a kiyum Kabbalas O Malchus Shemayim. Once you began the parish, you cannot complete the parish midway. You cannot interrupt the parish before you complete it. The Rav has an interesting kashya down in footnote 29. Because l'chora, what's called haschola? Well, according to the Bnei Marava, since this parsha splits into two, the only time we could say that there was haschola is when you penetrate, when you cross the bounds from the first element, the first chalos, into the second chalos. At what point in the reading of Parshas Vayomer have you crossed the boundary, crossed the red line into the other chalos of right? Is it v'asul hemtzitzis, right? So, what does Rav mean there for you started the parasha, you have to complete it? You never really started the parasha. We can only say you started the parasha once you dipped into the V'yosalem Tzitzis. But V'yamar Talim is not enough. But somehow the Rav says in footnote number 29, that according to Abaye, once we integrate both Svaros, the Svara of Bnei Marava together with the Svara of Rav, then Rav, who sees this whole parsha as one chalos, he doesn't have to wait till you get to V'yosalem Tzitzis. Again, from the perspective of Bnei Marava, at what point could you call it a haschola that would force you to complete the parsha only when you dipped in to V'yosalem Tzitzis, not when you started the first pasuk? That's an entirely different parsha. But since Abaye was worried about the sheet of Rav, then by considering the sheet of Rav, the haschola is any time he began the parsha. Because with any kickoff of the parsha, he's already entered into this chalos parsha shlishis of Kabbalas O Malchus Shemayim. And in the final paragraph of this particular section, the Rav says that the concept of hischil gomer, which applies here to parshas Vayomer according to Rav, proves or demonstrates that the din kriya kiksava, that the halacha of you have to read a parsha as is, as it's given in the Torah, was formulated with regard to the mitzvah of Haskaras Yetzias Mitzrayim, and therefore even at night, since this parasha contains within it Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, which is obligatory at night, therefore should be integrated into Yetzias Mitzrayim, into Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim, as Reb Chaim said. Reading the parasha, starting the parasha, requires you to complete the parasha, because the mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim can only be fulfilled within the context of Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim, which requires the reading of a parasha Kisava Ukilshona. Once having done so, you can say the Vayomer is an entire entity, and having begun it, you have to complete it. Ulefichok, therefore, Ascholas Kriyas HaParsha Mechadeshes, it generates the Chiyuv HaMirah, so the obligation to read the entire parasha from beginning to end as a result of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. So again, the Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim element in the parasha Vayomer creates a hispashtu, so to speak. It spreads out throughout the entire parasha, giving it a status, a character of Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim, such that now, once you started that parasha, you have to complete it. Lechatchila, Bnei Marav and Rav agree that the mitzvah of tzitzis, the reading of the parasha of tzitzis, is completely mufka, it's completely excluded. However, Abai says that since we have the chiv to read one part of the parasha, and that's because of the Bnei Marava, who set up one part of the parasha as an independent entity of Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim, therefore, having started the parasha, we have to complete the parasha, because there's a chalushem parasha sheyesh ba Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim as a result of Zechiras Mitzrayim. Again, since this is not powerful enough at night to create that chaloshem Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim, but we're still left with Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. Once having begun it, we complete it. Go ahead. I just want to say one thing, Byron, before we close the shiur, and then I want to hear what you have to say. Section Hay, which completes the first shiur on Kriyat Shema, focuses on Emes V'Yatziv Do Reis, according to Rav Yudin and Shmuel, and it's really an extension of what we've done until now. But Beli Neder, what I'd like to do next time is to complete this entire first shiur and give a sort of introduction and overview to the second shiur. Yeah, Byron, what do you want to...
I think I have two things. First, this whole methodology of going from Shema back to the Pasuk, and from B'nai Marava back to the Pasuk in Vayikra, so you're breaking your head trying to parallel it, when I really think they should really start with the Pasuk in Vayikra and develop it into Shema compared to Shema. That it's more logical to learn it that way, as opposed
you don't want to start it this way and go that way.
Yeah.
But again, you're trying to integrate it into Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim, which requires the reading of these three parashas, which is exactly what we do by day. So you want to do the same thing at night, but you can't do it unless you validate this parasha within a parasha, and that's where Vayikra comes in. If you're going to start with Vayikra, you're going to be in deep trouble, because Vayikra doesn't mention Yetzias Mitzrayim at all.
But then you can develop it that way, just like you developed it backwards, you can develop it forwards. I understand where you're coming from.
Why? Is there any Yetzias Mitzrayim there in that parasha of Vayikra?
There is.
If there is, then you're right.
It says, so
okay.
It's sort of mentioning Mitzrayim.
That's a good point. I mean, that has to be taken up as a separate question. I don't know if the Rav addresses that at all, even in the footnotes,
And the second thing is, remember we talked about Hallel.
Yeah.
You have to, when you start Hallel, even though it's different prakim, why can't we have to complete it?
Yeah. On Rosh Chodesh.
Why can't we do that with Shema? There's three prakim, there's three or four prakim of Shema. Once you start it, you have to complete it. Use the parallel.
I think that's what the Rav is saying, that even though according to Rav you don't begin the third parasha of Kriyat Shema because it's got tzitzis in it, but once you've started it, you have to complete it, exactly like in the case of Hallel.
I'm saying once you start Shema, how you do all prakim. You're saying.
Oh, you mean what? What's your case? He already was Yotzei Shema? Well, why would we have a discussion about someone who started Shema?
And then you have to complete Shema. It's a parallel to Hallel.
But are you chayiv in the midst of Shema? Are you Yotzei or what? See, the Rav's talking about a sugya in Tainus Chav Ches where you weren't Yotzei in the midst of Hallel. So now we can impose upon you a chiyuv of Hallel under the rule of Kevin Shehiskel Gomer called Parashat Delo Paskei Moshe. But if I were to, let's say in the middle of the day, all of a sudden I start Shema Yisrael, I mean, you can't impose upon me a chiyuv to read the whole parashat if I already was Yotzei that reading, I think. All right, let's talk.